The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 158. However you're taking us in, I am very grateful. Seriously, every morning. Never take it for granted. Love hanging out with all y'all. Kelly's behind the glass because now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Let's go. Billy.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are we doing?
Well, I'm doing very well. Would you like to explain your attire, first of all?
Well, I first said to you, I like your shirt.
Thank you.
I said I had brought back an old throwback shirt. This was from the 2018 action show.
Wow.
That we filmed. Yeah.
So fitting you well.
Yeah. You know my, what do you call these, Cuba Vera shirts?
Guayavera.
Yeah. On sale right now for 2 for $70, by the way, on the Cuba Vera site. I don't get anything for that, but I just think it's a cool site.
And, yeah.
They're usually like $50 each.
It's a Guayavera Larry David combo is what it feels like.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You're exactly right. And then Charlie Sheen was on a show. The two brothers, what was that called?
Two and a half men.
He always wore like shirts like that.
Yes.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Eight years ago, action was.
That was 8 years ago.
God, we were only, so Visa was only a year old at that time then.
It doesn't sound right. Is that right?
Yeah. 2018, right?
Wow. Yeah.
That doesn't sound right, but it is right.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I felt like we were further into it.
Wow, we're like living in a reality show. It's not even real. We're living in like a simulation video game out here. This is not real. But by the way,
yeah,
I know you just think it's normal. This isn't real.
What we're doing?
Of course not.
Of course this is not.
This is really. It's kind of amazing that, you know, we can make livings out here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and it's the life. You know, I say to our buddy Chris Bruno.
Yeah,
I have said to him. I go, we chose this life. And you know what he says back to me, which I think is very clever response. He goes, no. This life chose us.
It was us. Wow. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. And I think he's right.
But a lot of people can't handle moving to Las Vegas. It's really a tough thing to do. I'm not saying I can handle it, by the way. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody. Trust me. But I had a friend that worked in the I almost said where. It doesn't matter. He worked in the Bronx back home. He had a great job, making about 80 grand a year, full benefits, great retirement package, another 10 years to go to retire. But he loved coming to Vegas a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not out of control gambler, spending money. When he came out, saved up, him and his wife came out here all the time. And he said, Bill, what do you think about me moving out there? And I said, absolutely not.
No, sir.
Absolutely not. You come and you guys love Las Vegas. Your mom, your dad, your wife, you guys love Las Vegas. You come out twice a year. You can't wait to come out. It's a great time. You spend the whole week out here. And they didn't even go to Atlantic City. The Bronx is a couple hours from AC. Didn't even go to Atlantic City. They always saved to come out here. He decided to quit his job, which he had 10 more years to go get a beautiful retirement. Comes out here and against a couple times me telling him he shouldn't come out here. And I really don't recommend anyone that gambles to come out to Las Vegas and live here. This is vice central. Drinking, drugs, you know, women, gambling. So, first of all,
are you suggesting drugs and women are out here? Well, yeah.
You know, first of all, back home, we had neighborhoods, areas where you knock on your apartment door, you need some milk, you need a sugar, that doesn't happen here. We don't have neighborhoods here. If you get a ring on the door, you're doing an army crawl to the door with your gun. You're like, what is that? You know, it's back home.
You know how you know? The elevators. I always say whatever happens in the elevator is how you can tell the town.
Yes.
So if you're in New York, right?
Yeah.
People are always talking up everybody.
Sure.
Hey, I'm waiting for food in a restaurant. People are like,
right.
Hey, you know, whatever your t-shirt says.
Sure.
Hey, you went to that tournament?
Right.
Right?
Right.
San Francisco or here, like no one says a word. No one says a word to each other.
You're right. You're right about that. And I've lived in a lot of these different high rises. So you're right. Wherever I was in Sky, Allure, Turnberry, Veer, you're right. The elevators can tell you a lot. You're absolutely right. But so he comes here, he moves here, moves to town. And in a matter of a year, he asked me to get him a job, which I did. I'll be honest with you. I got him a job working in one of the sports books, making a good amount of money. He actually, because he knew sports, he knew, well, he knew the terminology of sports. He didn't know how to bet sports properly. But he came here, and his life was turned upside down in 2 years. His mom passed, so he had about almost $900,000 from his mom's house. He moved out here, him, his wife, and his dad. And his dad since passed. Nice people, too. Nice, old-school people. And his life was turned totally upside down out here. I almost said the word. Yeah, all right. Just I can say the word.
Didn't go his way.
Yeah. Picked up a Gumar right away, which is a girlfriend, right away. And that was bad. You know, and he literally, like, never cheated on his wife, he told me, until he got to Vegas. And it's expensive to have a Gumar. It's not an easy, it's especially in Vegas.
It's a poor business decision, is what
you're
saying.
It is. So, yeah. Went through the $900,000 in less than 3 years, actually, about 2.5 years. Went through the $900,000, came to me crying, physical tears, crying. This is a guy I was actually friends with back home, who I don't talk to now.
Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, he came to me crying, wanted to borrow money. And it just, you can't give someone money. That's not the solution. He's just going to go through that, you know. It's tough. It's here.
He ain't the first, and he ain't the last.
Las Vegas, 1 million. The public, zero.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough town to move to, and a lot of gambling towns are tough to move to, and they're all over the country now. So
also now, you know, the landscape is as it is with sports betting legal in so many states, right?
Yes.
Prediction markets existing. So if the reason you're coming is for sports betting,
right,
that just isn't the reason, period.
Yeah.
Anymore. We did have a question, by the way, earlier from somebody, because I talked to Fezzik about this on air. I'm just curious. This is from Ice Goon, who said, you covered this with John Orlando. He said it a little bit, but can you ask Crack for his thoughts on what happened with Prim? I really don't see anything Prim could have done once California casinos became more prevalent and online gambling exploded.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Prim, Nevada, for those who don't know.
Prim at the border there. They had three nice casinos. They had an outlet mall. They had it was a good stopover. Great concerts. They always had some really cool concerts there. And that is since now Prim is looking for a new owner. And they are closing, I think, the end of the month. The only casino that's open there is going to be closed. And plus, there's apartments right in the back there where all the people from Prim lived. Like, all the people that worked in Prim, they gave him like a month to get out. Like, it just turns everyone's lives upside down, and I feel bad for those people there. But the savior that I think may happen there, they're planning an airport for there. They're actually planning a good-sized airport. I seen it yesterday on a site. Let me see if I can pull that up. They're planning for an airport, and it's actually a good-sized airport. So when I seen that airport, and I looked at the location of the airport, it's right by Prim. Like, it's right there. So I was pretty surprised to see that. I said, you know, I can't believe these people are looking to sell, and no one's looking at the future of that. And here's the article I looked at yesterday. And look, you could see there's the Southern Nevada Supplemental Airport. There's Prim. There's the Supplemental Airport. So that's going to be coming in less than a decade. They're planning now on building another airport there. You know, the regular size airport, too.
So you're bullish on Prim. You think they're making a mistake.
I say that could be some valuable real estate there for someone. Someone will come in and scoop it up. I don't know if they're going to open up those casinos right away.
Yeah.
But, I hate to see anyone suffer. And I know a person that was a bartender there, and he's very upset because he had benefits for him and his family, and they lived in the apartments in the back there. Now he... You know, and he's older too. You know, he's 50 years old. What do you do?
How do you
start over at 50?
That's right.
As a bartender, you know, they hire all the young kids here, and then, you know, the good looking staff, young, and you know, they look for. It's sad to me. It's kind of sad. So that answers that question.
Kevin Ryan, Gil, did Crack just say when you move to Vegas you'll experience gambling, drugs, and women? I just called Mayflower Movers. He said, "Real Knicks." It's expensive to have a Gumar, maybe the funniest line in the history of a numbers game. Crack, you are the best, brother, he says.
It's expensive, especially in towns like Miami, Las Vegas, and L.A. That's expensive. It's expensive to have a side piece. No, it really is. These aren't girls that are asking just for, you know, a dinner and a nice night out, you know?
Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I'm just saying it. Okay. Just, yeah.
Yeah, breaking it down. No, listen. That's the way that cookie crumbles for sure.
Can I go over something?
Of course.
The Gold Coast here in town. Nothing against the Gold Coast. I mean, those I love like the Orleans. And I was just at one of their other properties, Cadence Crossing on Boulder Highway.
Oh, wow.
I went there, brand new. It's really, really nice. Nice casino.
Gold Coast is on Flamingo. Gold Coast is on Flamingo.
So I drive by and there's a dead body outside. So this is, you know, this is, sorry, I can go into this. I just dropped these things.
That's right.
Now, I'm saying, why? Now, I pick up a buddy of mine from there. I said, why aren't they covering that body? You know, that's unbelievable. We go back an hour later after dinner. I went and dropped them back off, and the body's still there. There's cops, a couple cops, but the body's not even covered. Now, it just so happens that I actually inquired a little bit with someone. I'm friends with a captain of police. My brother-in-law, of course, with Secret Service, retired. And he said, well, if it's an investigation, they will not touch the body. If it's an they have to know about
tamper.
Them.
Yeah.
They cannot tamper with the body. So I just tried to find out, read newspapers, did Google searches. This was like 2 months ago, and I said, you know, I still went out. Nobody discussed all these. There's so many murders and people dead all over town, bodies all the time. No one ever, you never hear of it.
But you
anywhere.
Know what? A lot of cities that depend on tourism do that kind of thing.
A guy
jumped off my building in San Francisco to his death. You didn't see a word about it in the newspaper.
Yeah, this body was at the right outside of the casino, and no one said a word about it still. So, anyway.
Yeah. Still love the Gold Coast for some of the places to eat over there, though. That's a whole different story.
Yes.
Coming back, Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberg. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start here, and this limited time offer won't last much longer. Right now, get a full year of VSiN Pro, normally $240 for just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll give you two extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. Get access to daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. This offer ends soon, so head to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code PRO, that's VSIN.com/subscribe. John Balducci on Twitter, why do we call her the hamburger again? I don't know. Just something I threw out there once and sort of stuck, at least in my brain. Johnny Brock, Kelly needs a hug, and since I can't be there, here's a virtual hug. He thinks you need a hug. Rusty, yes.
Right back to you, Johnny Brock.
Yes, Cavs. Rusty said, yes, Cavs blew it, but if Merrill's shot at the buzzer went in and out actually falls and the Cavs win, what would the discussions look like? Well, Rusty, you're absolutely right. We even pointed out how that ball was a third of the way down at least.
It got a half bang.
Burr, burr.
Nope. Oh, it's out.
Rhodes knows. Oh, he's okay. So wait a minute. We have to do these in order. Pardon me. This is from Patrick Kelly clarifying his tweet earlier. He goes, "Your open Ole Miss window messing with the internet." That's what the one before where he said, "Just get Gil a framed picture of the screen." That's what he meant. Tronsky, hey Gil,
that's actually a great idea.
Yeah,
I did not understand that at first. That's a great idea.
To which Rhodes Knows replies, "I also can see your face, and you're amazing just the way you are. Big fan, Bruno Mars." What, Tronsky? Hey Gil, the fact that Kelly has more money on Sinner to win the French Open is a clear indication. Sorry, Kelly, you don't know tennis. That those futures are in jeopardy. Everyone assuming the baby giraffe will make it through 7 best of fives is laughable. All right, Tronsky. I think you should look up the word laughable. You may disagree, but laughable it is not.
Hey.
Rich Sports 19.
I'm going to get something nice at the CLV store regardless, Gil.
There's nothing about the draw that he's not going to win. Rich Sports 1981. I have my Arkansas 55-1 ticket. I also have my Winner's Circle appointment set for August 13th. There you go. Winner's Circle proxy. Keep up the great work, man. Thank you very much. This is, by the way, so the draw of the French Open came out right before this show. So we're looking to see if anything has changed based on the draw in the odds. Danny Higgins has called up these latest odds here. Zach will bring back in Zach Cohen, VSiN's own, to look at these as well. So I just mentioned, I got Iga. Iga's got the, to me, she's got the worst of it here. She's still the short shot, plus 250. This per DraftKings. It's a lot of respect for the four-time champ, but she deserves it. But man, they didn't make it easier for her. There's Aryna Sabalenka, plus 275. There's Rybakina at 7-1. There's Coco. Coco's got the easiest quarter, in my opinion, plus 750. So there's going to be quarter. We don't have quarter markets yet. By the way, the men's, there's no change. Yannick Sinner's minus 320. Nothing to see there.
What's the what are the quarters look like, though?
Well, this is what I'm saying. So the quarters, what are you talking about, men's or women's?
Women's. We'll start with women's.
We don't have the odds or anything right yet, but you're just talking about the breakdown?
Yeah, yeah, just like the big names.
So Q1 is the Sabalenka quarter that has, I'll just give you some names. Jovic, Osaka, Mboko, Keys, who also hasn't played, Pegula.
Okay.
Q2 is the Gauff quarter. Gauff, Potapova, Mertens, Anisimova. Already mentioned Anisimova hasn't played any clay. Potapova's numbers are great. But that's the easy, and that top half.
That's got to be a Gauff bet, right? Quarter?
It feels like a Gauff bet. We don't know what the number's going to be, but it feels like a Gauff bet. But Potapova's got great numbers. But that half is way easier, Zach, in my opinion, than this bottom half, which is Q3. Oh, my God. Swiatek, Svitolina, Bencic, Kostyuk, and Ostapenko. Good God. Q4, Andreeva, Muhova, Paulina, Kersteja, Rybakina. Good God. So anyway, that's how it breaks down. Are you surprised Iga's still plus 250 and Coco's plus 750? Or, you know, this is the outright. Coco's still got to play really great players in the semis and finals, right?
Yeah, I think I'm not that surprised. I mean, Coco, it's gone down a little bit. I mean, I saw plus 900 before the draw came out, so it's plus 750 now. I guess that bakes in the fact that she has a pretty decent draw. But one of the other players that I thought was a decent kind of look pre-tournament was Zheng Qinwen, who, I don't know. I honestly can't say her name either. I know Zheng, it's the backwards Qinwen thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that she's someone that is like starting to peak at the right time. And we've seen her win in Paris before. And I could see that being a really difficult match for Coco if we eventually see it in quarter two. But that is really the only kind of obstacle that I see is those two in there. So I don't know. I think Iga's really tough to back at plus 250, but it wouldn't surprise me if she wins, obviously. I do think that she's going to be the best clay court player in the world for the next 10 years. She just has to find it again.
I believe we've said that on this show before a couple times, maybe three times. That's the thing. We saw peak Iga. We got a glimpse of her last week, crushing players till she didn't in the semis. If she gets that far, it will be because she's crushing players, no doubt. And so that's why that number is what it is. We'll do more on this with Drew Dinsick. Again, beating the book, Roland Garros betting preview after this show. We'll record it 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, live on Twitter. Back to basketball. You have some other plays in this game tonight between the Cavs and the Knicks.
Yes, I have two player props for this game, one bigger than the other. I have Dean Wade over 8.5 points and rebounds at minus 108, which is a standard play for me. I had Wade to go over 7.5 in game one, and he did it like in the first half. Like, he played really, really well to start that game, knocked down some threes, got his rebounds. And I do think that in this game, Atkinson's going to have to turn to him again as the Brunson defender. So I think that Wade's going to play 25-ish minutes. And if you play that much in an NBA game, it's really hard to not have 9 combined points and rebounds. So going right back to that again, I also took Evan Mobley over 1.5 made threes. This is a smaller play, just a half unit, but plus 165. He's made 2 threes in 3 of the last 4 games. Also attempted 8 threes in game 1. I just feel like teams are kind of daring him to shoot, and not sure the best idea is for him to take a lot of them, but I think he's going to take enough to feel like we got good value at plus 165 for him to knock down 2. He is a pretty solid shooter. If he takes 5 threes, I'll feel really good about having this ticket, whether or not they go in or not.
Make it a contest play, Zach? Inquiring minds want to know, or do you not want to tell us?
I will probably be on Cleveland in the contest. I do think that Cleveland's going to be able to find a way to keep this game close. I should have mentioned before, like when talking about the mindset of this team, I do think if that happened in game 2 it'd be over. Like, if you kind of go down 0-2 in New York, head back to Cleveland, having known that you gave up your opportunity to steal home court, it'd be another story. If you're Cleveland, though, you just have to look at this as another opportunity to do the one thing you need to do, which is win one game in New York. I think if you get on the team plane tonight, having split wins in the, you know, against the Knicks in the Garden, I think you feel good and feel like you did your job.
Yeah, I like that approach as well. If that's their mindset, that's a good one. What about the Spurs and the Thunder? 1-1 now after last night's Thunder victory. But we don't know about J-Dub, Jalen Williams, for the Thunder, who re-aggravated, we assume, his hamstring, missed the whole Lakers series, played well in game one, but then tweaks it, never to return after his brief appearance last night. Then the Spurs, already without De'Aaron Fox, they lose Dylan Harper, not to return last night, to what looked to be, they're calling it a leg injury. It looked like a hamstring. We don't know anything about any of those three players at this point. So what do you do with this series right now?
Yeah, so I actually do assume that both Harper and Williams will be out for game three. I think that, you know, Harper's looked really bad to me. And I saw a lot of the Twitter doctors that like to dissect the film and say what they think the injury is. A lot of them were saying that that looked like, you know, a strained hamstring that will keep him out for multiple games. So working under the assumption that we won't see Harper. J-Dub, I think, is going to be an interesting case. Like, I think something very similar happened with the Suns' Jalen Green this year, who strained his hamstring, missed a lot of time, ended up coming back, doing the same exact thing. And it ended up being just like him feeling some pain in the injury and not feeling comfortable playing through it. That's what it seemed like happened last night, because they came out and said he restrained the injury. And then they ended up correcting that report and just saying, no, it was just tightness. Like, I could see a scenario where he comes back for game three. I would assume it'll be game four, but I do think that Harper being out for San Antonio hurts San Antonio more than J-Dub being out for OKC. And that's not because I think that Harper's better than Williams. It's just the depth of this Thunder team. You could bring in Caruso, you could bring in Wallace, you could bring in McCain, all guys that scored in double figures off the bench. And it almost feels like the machine keeps rolling. That's the team that we saw win 8 games in a row to start this playoffs. I'm not sure the Spurs will be able to do the same without Harper, who has been so good attacking the basket. And even if you bring Fox back, I kind of wonder what Fox is going to look like, because it does seem like that ankle injury is more serious than they're letting on. Wouldn't be surprising if that's the type of thing like where with a hockey player, he comes back, plays the playoffs, needs surgery after the postseason.
Well, and yeah. Fox played on it for like a game and a half afterwards, right? Like, so he's been, he perhaps played too much on it.
Yeah, there's that. And then, like, that was the first time yesterday, Zach, that I had heard high ankle sprain, definitively for him. They were kind of being quiet about exactly what it was. So this sucks, man. Like, and like you said, though, it is, the Harper injury is bigger just because of the replacements on either side.
Yeah, we can all say, hey, they're better without Fox. They're not better without both of them, that's for sure. Spurs favored by 2, totals 216 tomorrow night, game 3 in San Antonio. Zach, talk to you in about an hour and a half. Let's do it. Zach Cohen, everybody.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, it's proxy season beginning tomorrow when the signups begin for all of Circus football contests. Officially open this week. If you want to play but won't be in Las Vegas every week, Winners Circle Proxy can help. After your required in-person registration, you will have to be here for that. Winners Circle Proxy handles your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winners Circle Proxy, VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, then play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Kelly gives me a rundown every morning, and, I take a glance. Mm-hmm. This morning you had a little note on here. LSU has finalized a deal to hire Ed Orgeron on Lane Kiffin's staff.
Yeah.
That wasn't what caught my attention. After that, it says Orgeron's agent, Svi Grossman, tells ESPN. Svi, Habibi, Mashlumcha.
It's only really funny because it's Ed Orgeron.
That's right. So Svi is like, Ed, you should take it. Ed's like, I'll do it.
I can't. So you know what? To the actual story itself, though, Gil.
Yeah.
I don't ask me what the impact's going to be, but I love love at O. Like, it's great to see him at LSU,
just picture me looking at the rundown, giggling this morning to myself. Let's talk some college baseball. If you are if you have not paid attention to college baseball all season long, this is the time you should. And to help us navigate all of this, give us a background on the season, where we are, what the format is, all of those for the College Baseball 101 story of the day. It's Matt Grissom, our buddy from collegebaseballinsiders.com. Matt joining us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Matt?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are we?
Very good. Now, is this the correct Twitter handle? M. Grissom? That's what we have now?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Old Elon let you upgrade your handle, so I had to take advantage of it. Still can't get Matt Grissom, though. He's out there with his two followers.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we make do with what we can.
He's holding out on you, man. He's holding it for a big price. That's what's happening. It's okay. Give us, before we get to, because I know we're in conference tournaments right now, give us just sort of a sense, if you could, in a paragraph, what has the college baseball regular season looked like? Who's at the top? Who are the contenders, in your opinion?
So Georgia Tech kind of ran away with the ACC, but not as bad as UCLA ran away with the Big Ten. They are the rightful 1-2 right now. But as we've seen in years past, you don't really want to be the number one overall seed, which UCLA looks like they're going to be slated to do. Georgia Tech's pitching concerns me. UCLA's hitting concerns me. They really don't do both well. UCLA kind of sleptwalked through the Big Ten. It was not very challenging. So they're entering the postseason kind of in a weird spot where the talent's there, but their starting pitcher, their ace, Logan Redeman, has not played in, I think, the last 4 weeks, maybe just three, but that's still concerning. You're not at that point resting guys waiting for the postseason. That's more of like an ongoing issue. For Georgia Tech, they look really good. They have the best offense in the country. They're leading in WOBA, WRC+. But the pitching staff outside of Tate McKee kind of worries me. They've kind of bounced around between a Game 2, Game 3 starter. Jackson Blakely and Dylan Loy have kind of filled in that role. They did drop a series to North Carolina, so interestingly enough, they're at number 3. But if you notice there, the top three teams in the odds market, none of them are SEC schools, and
that's
as
right.
We've known in years past, the SEC has kind of been the one that wins it by the end of the year. So Georgia ran away with the SEC this year, and it's kind of scary because I think I said preseason, like that was the team I was holding out on to see what kind of Wes Johnson pitching staff he would put together through the transfer portal, got some guys from Stanford, got a guy, Caden Aoki from USC. They're making it work, and that's kind of scary because they've got the number 2 offense in the country behind Tech. Now, Tech did beat them at Truist Park in a midweek. Don't really put a whole lot of stock into that, but as far as overall balance right now, Georgia and Texas are kind of leading the way at that point. Now, before we get into something else, I know you – we still fantasize about that 2022
yes,
Ole Miss
we do.
Ticket.
Yes, we
and
do.
And I knew you were going to ask me about that Ole Miss team. Florida, 35-1. Arkansas, 50-1. Those are two teams that have all the metrics. They have an above-average weighted runs created. They have a top 25 strength schedule. They have a top 20 pitching staff. All of those things that we look for in a championship future, those two teams have it at unrealistic odds.
So what you're saying is if there is an Ole Miss to come out of the SEC, an Ole Miss 2022 style, which was 100-1, you're saying it's Florida and Arkansas, one of those two clubs?
Yeah, at this point, I think it would be Arkansas.
Okay.
I think they're 55 to 1 right now.
Oh, don't.
They're going to be a 2
Matt,
seed more
don't
than
you,
likely.
Don't you do this to me. I'm getting my juices flowing.
I know, but you know, we all kind of joke. This is the one that Arkansas wins. Last year, they were kind of the best team on paper, the team of destiny. They get snubbed by LSU there in College World Series, and then, you know, LSU goes on to win it. This is the year that they're going to screw around and go win the whole damn thing. So we'll see.
Okay.
Is this, Matt, a good example of what, is the SEC just beating up on each other and just kind of in general there's value on a lot of these SEC teams? Because, yeah, I think it's notable to me how many
ACC Big Ten teams we have near the top of the board here.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Georgia, who just kind of rolled through the SEC, Texas lost 2 out of 2 to A&M. They didn't get to play game 3, so that was kind of confusing. A&M may look like a host, like a regional host in the top 8. Auburn looks really good, but their offense kind of falls asleep. They've, in my opinion, Auburn's got the most complete pitching staff, but there's not really a team that does both well. Mississippi State kind of did at the beginning of the season, and then they started dropping series that had you scratching your head. I don't agree that they should be plus 950. I mean, they're the shortest shot out of the SEC to win it all. I think they're maybe the 5th or 6th best.
You know, for those who weren't around for what we're referencing, is 2022 Ole Miss run to the title. And Kelly, just to let you know, all my windows here on the computer, I keep up just to remember that 2022 Ole Miss run window on my computer, just to inspire at 100-1 going to.
You keep up a separate window of 2022 baseball stats?
I got the whole bracket of the College World Series that year and everything, just because it was such a magical run.
Well, I figured out the internet issues for Gil Alexander in the studio.
That's what the problem is. All right, so, okay, I appreciate that. Can you, for those listening who are like, all right, College World Series, how's this work? So we're in the conference. You can explain this way better than I can. We're in the conference tournaments. Then we go to regionals, then we go to super regionals, then we go to the College World Series. Explain how all that goes and what the pods are and what schools get those and all of that to everybody.
Yeah, so right now you have conference tournaments going on, which a lot of teams that have already sewed up a top 16 regional hosting spot really aren't going to care. They'd rather rest their guys. So that is something. I know DraftKings has odds right now on to win the conference tournament. Be careful if you see like, oh, why is Georgia, if they're the best team in the SEC, why are they 4th best odds to win it? Well, it's because Wes Johnson's probably going to try to win one and then go home. For regional round next week, we're going to have selection Monday, this coming Monday. And basically 64 teams will get put into 16 different regionals hosted by the number one seed, and the other 3 will be seeded 2 through 4. We will then play a double elimination round robin, essentially, at each regional host spot. And then the winner of each one of those will take on the super regional winner, which is the best 2 out of 3. It aligns, basically, 1 will play 16, 2 will play 15, on and so forth. If you've paid attention to March Madness bracket, you know that's how that works out. But then super regionals, best 2 out of 3. They go to Omaha, and then you basically repeat the regional round, but on your side of the bracket. They could have done this a much easier way, but for all intents and purposes, it works.
Why do
so
that?
Yeah. Basically,
why
yeah,
do that?
Double yeah. elimination. It, basically, the rule, it, the easiest rule is don't lose more than once in a weekend.
That's
you
right.
can lose once, but don't lose twice.
That's right. That extends all the way into the College
yep.
World Series, which is a combo of what Matt was saying, double elimination, best of threes, that whole thing. Matt, appreciate it. It's always because I think that's always a good reminder for those who don't follow this closely. So Arkansas first, Florida second, but let's go Arkansas. 55-1 is the big one. Florida's also in there as well as we look to rekindle some SEC love here in 2026. You do believe, though, in closing in 10 seconds, you do believe UCLA and Georgia Tech and North Carolina, 6-1, 6-1, 9-1, respectively, they are properly priced, though, as the top 3?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're overpriced for what they are. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't bet any of them at this point.
Okay.
I think you're 11-1 and on is a better price.
Matt, College Baseball.
And check out collegebaseballinsiders.com. We've got all of the championship formula on there. It's all absolutely free.
Yeah, beat me to it. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate y'all.
Coming back with some tennis next.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. at Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. Name of the podcast, Wise Cracks with Bill and John Orlando, wherever podcasts are distributed. Did you want to get into that on air or no?
Sure. So Matt Kalish from DraftKings.
One of the co-founders.
He's been on Twitter all of a sudden like crazy lately, talking about Kalshi and some different things. And I liked some of the things he was saying. So when he talked about user-friendly and how people would rather be on DraftKings and FanDuel and different sites like that compared to Kalshi, which is more suited towards the professional gamblers or the Wall Street types. And, you know, people just want to simply go in and make a bet. They don't want to have to think what a contract is and how do I compute this in my head. And so I thought it was kind of interesting, the points he made. And I asked him twice, which I usually don't ask anybody. I'm not begging nobody to do anything. Trust me, in life in general. I'm at the point in life, thank God, I don't have to beg you to do anything. So I just was asking him twice in his comments where he was talking to people and answering other people. I asked him twice, would you like to come on with Gil and I on Thursday? He never even gave me a courtesy response.
He was on with us on Primetime Action, me, Matt, and Kelly years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I don't even think, were we owned by DraftKings at the time? Kelly, I'm not even sure. But he was more awkward than we were the ones going
maybe
in being nervous,
why.
But he was super awkward with us. He's a big Celtics fan. He wanted to steer everything to the Celtics.
Oh, sure.
But I'd love to have him on. I'd love to discuss.
Yeah, I thought it would be good to have him on, and he didn't answer, and I can't take personal insult to it. He probably thinks Bill Krakenberg, he knows who I am, a professional gambler, and he's always looking out for, you know, himself and the pros, and these guys don't like pros. I mean, we know with Jason, made some pop. The other co-founder, they made some disparaging comments towards winners on air. Like, he, you know,
Jason Robbins says the quiet part out loud, doesn't he?
Probably shouldn't have. You know, but sometimes these are the guys that, you know, let's just face it. These are the mathematical, sometimes guys that aren't used to speaking out. And so when I seen him talking and using the F word 30 times on Twitter, going after he just got really mad and stuff.
Well,
but I didn't mind it either. I curse. I just don't curse on air. I don't curse in public situations in front of females and girls, of course, and kids.
Right, but if I were his media coach, I would say, you know, Matt, you're a co-founder of DraftKings. Maybe clam it up a little bit with the.
But I did want to get his. And trust me, I'm never going to have you on something and make you look bad.
No, we're super.
I'm never going to. No. I wasn't talking about my limits at DraftKings or how DraftKings limits winner, whatever. I wasn't doing that. I thought he had some very valid points.
We're not gotcha radio here on this show. I would, you know, Kelly was just in here in the studio afterwards. I didn't see what Matt Kalish said about prediction markets.
Tons of things.
Like Kalshi and the other. I'll have to look. But I get the sense from what you're describing that what Kelly's reaction was is the correct one, which is, it sort of feels to me, by what you're describing, that this is these guys hit the lottery, right? Jason, Matt, for
without
only,
a doubt,
DraftKings. It wasn't even a gambling site at first, right? It pivoted
Fantasy,
into that,
right.
And so, you know, they hit the gold mine of all gold mines.
Sure.
And now you have this advent of something called prediction markets, Polymarket, Kalshi, ProfitX, on and on, right? And they are now watching in real time these folks hitting perhaps an even bigger lottery to some extent. And it sounds like Matt's having a little trouble with dealing with that.
I don't know if they hit a bigger lottery than DraftKings and FanDuel.
That's hard to say, that part. But at least, let's put it this way. Those guys were movers in this particular avenue prior to them being a mover.
The people that the Tariq, I think his name is Tariq, and the female that started Kalshi.
Mm-hmm.
They really weren't even into sports betting. They don't. I don't think she knows too much. She even said it. It's not really her field, but they were in college and just started this together, or when they graduated or whatever. I think they more were looking at different events like the presidential election.
Yeah, sure.
They took ads up on the Strip.
Remember that
when
the
people came to town
on the Strip
and seen the famous beautiful billboard on the corner of Harmon and Las Vegas Boulevard, the rounded side. It said,
and by billboard, you mean big LED screen.
LED screen. Yeah. That's the best one in town.
Yeah.
So, and then they seen the odds on, the presidential election,
right.
And it was changing, but it stayed up there most of the time.
Yes.
And then there was two other ones. They took three on the Strip. People came to me and said, where do I bet the selection? What casino has it? And they don't realize it says Kalshi on it.
Yeah.
And I think they were looking more of predictive markets for major events and world events and whatever it may be.
Well,
and
just,
then they crossed over.
It's just like the DraftKings story. They weren't about sports betting initially either, right?
Yes.
You know, those guys would probably say, well, you know, our preparation, you know, what's it? Luck is where preparation and opportunity meet. And in both cases, that's, you know, in terms of sports betting, that's perhaps the case. I guess what I'm saying is, my opinion now, this is just my opinion, prediction markets are here to stay, regardless of folks, you know, trying to fight it. I believe they're here to stay. And there is a market. There is clearly, right, people, this just in, Bill, people like to bet on things.
Yes.
And they like to bet on things beyond sports.
Sure.
And elections, as Jimmy Vaccaro so famously said, is perhaps the biggest of them all, right? You want people to vote? Allow them to bet on elections. They'll vote then,
yes,
right? And maybe there should be some, you know, quote-unquote separation of church and state on those kind of things. That's a different opinion on it. But it doesn't have to be elections. It's all these things that prediction markets make markets on it. And even I, listen, I'm pro-prediction market, but I am very, I've said on this show, to a point, right? I don't believe there should be death markets like they did with the Ayatollah. I think once you start going in that category, then it's ridiculous. I do believe there should be some guardrails on it. But listen, you can't stop progress, and you can't stop what people want. And so I'll have to look at Matt's tweets. I'd love to have him on the show. I'd love to hear what his real beef is.
Yeah, I thought it would
is.
Be good. I just you know, you don't have to come on with me, Matt. By the way, you can go on with Gil if you have something against me. That's fine. I get it. I'm tough on sports books. Absolutely. I'm very tough on sports books. But and DraftKings was very good to me. I made a ton of money on Banchero. I made a giant golf future that they had 180-1 on. They were very good to me before they limited me on the app. And then I go to the counter, and Foxwoods was taking $1,000 from me. I was very happy. They were taking $2,000. They cut me to a dime. And then after I came on this show and talked about how they had a new rule that they can cancel tickets, they called me immediately. My host from Foxwoods called me immediately because he was called by someone at DraftKings that listens to the show and said, tell Krakenberger it's $250 max now, for now on. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how dumb are these sites? I mean, they of course, we're going to get back in anyway. Just not going to be under my name. It's going to be under someone else's name. Like, not just picking on DraftKings. Anyone that throws you out or limits you to a dollar, we're going to get back in. Oh, and thank you for the bonus, by the way, the new bonus. Yeah.
Thank you for the bonus.
No, but I'm just saying, like, they were very good to me, and I enjoyed the experience of DraftKings playing there, all of them, FanDuel. I think FanDuel is one of the sharpest lines out there still. And I have to give these places credit. They put up, like, the Selection Sunday. Well, usually it was Chris Offshore, CRIS, that had the lines up first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not the case anymore with a lot of things. A lot of times, DraftKings will come up first and FanDuel before anybody else.
What happened to Bookmaker, Chris? What happened to them?
Yeah.
It was such a shell of what they used to be.
They used to be up first. They used to be up first, and they had tighter margins. Just a Pinnacle, too. They had very much tighter margins back then. They become wider now. There's no 10-cent baseball. It's a different sports betting landscape than it was even 5 years ago. Never mind a decade or two decades ago.
And I just want to reiterate because I understand both sides, right? I understand why sportsbook operators, legalized sportsbook operators, would be bent about this. Would be bent out of shape about this. They had to go through a process that involved, you know, state licensing, exorbitant fees, right? They had to go through hoops to get where they are as well. And then this sort of advent occurs. And so I understand why they feel like, you know, they're getting blindsided. Well, maybe instead of having your head on your head in the sand about it, though, that you ought to recognize, be a little more visionary about it and say, oh, maybe if you can't beat them, you join them.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's two ways to look at it. I do understand both sides of the argument. I don't want to. I'm not dismissing Matt Kalish's beef.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, speaking of, I don't think anyone's laughing more, but the offshore worlds, the bookmakers and the Pinnacles, and they're laughing more and more and more. At the first, they were a little bit scared, probably saying, "Oh no, the United States is legalizing." I think now that we have so many hurdles and now tax situations, and they're pushing people more offshore again, mm-hmm. like the old days.
The very thing they claim they didn't want to happen.
They're actually pushing more people offshore. I think the offshore market is very happy. But you have to have a solid place that's been around for years, like the ones we mentioned, rather than just startups or new places. So it's kind of interesting, right?
Bill Krakenberger, everybody. At Bill Krakman with a K. Great to have you back.
Great to be
as
here.
As always. Talk to you next week, of course. I'm doing the Beating the Book French Open podcast betting preview with Drew and Zach an hour from now, live on Twitter. Enjoy Prop Points in the meantime with Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.